we'll be again dealing with 1 Samuel 16:7 once I get everything situated. I hope all of you on Zoom can hear. Give me a thumbs up. Perfect. Thank you. So thankful for every one of our fellowship here and wherever they may be. Just a joy. So 1 Samuel 16:7. But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For God sees not as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." We're continuing to look at the fact that we need to have our view of others adjusted by the Lord. We are so influenced by the fads and the popularity and the modern styles. We fall prey to the constant bombardment of those advertised concepts of what is pretty and what will bring popularity and happiness and joy in the constantly shifting commercial phases of our society. Even if we're, say, we're bucking the trend, we find that it is in terms of the ideals of a bygone era, which also becomes a methodology, making our statement on what we think is the best way to showcase our stand against the norm. This is just referring to the idea of what and who represent the fleeting human standards for beauty and for greatness of appearance and demeanor. All of it falls under the continual truth of Proverbs 21:2 and 3. No matter how we deal with it, we're looking at the idyllic concept of our eyes rather than with the precise viewpoint that really matters in the course of a man or woman on this earth. Proverbs 21:2 and 3. Every man's way is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the hearts. To do righteousness and justice is desired by the Lord rather than sacrifice. God weighs the heart of a person. His is the divine measurement of where the person sets his or her values and trust and faith and assurance. The divine beauty of the love of God fully exudes from those in whom the heart is set on all that will bring glory and honor and joy and blessing to the Lord. To this world, youth and vim and vigor have ever been the goal. Science and medicine have provided admirable manners of operations, injections, implants, etc., in a vain effort to maintain a youthful appearance and demeanor and to prolong earthly life. There are billions of dollars that have been spent to find the elusive means of staying young forever. The fountain of youth is being created, at least to a measure, by the hands of those who work with such profuse energy to make us look so much younger than our count of years. That is where this world sets its mark of beauty and loveliness, no matter if the smile can no longer be produced, or the rest of the body sags and waddles beneath the face that is tight and plumped out. To God, the wrinkles of the aged who love him and have lived their lives unto him show forth such grace and beauty and honor and power and depth of relationship. The joy of knowing the Lord shines brightly in those eyes that may be feeble to the light of day, but oh so glorious in the light of Jesus Christ. The one, old or young, who has accepted Jesus as Savior sings with delight the songs of worship as they rejoice and dance in their hearts with the joy and the satisfaction of the Lord being set before all. In Jesus, those who are his and desire for their lives to honor him are the fountains of eternal life and fulfillment. Age has no bonds on them. The old and the young all together are living testimonies of the grace and the mercy and the love of God. The Holy Spirit shines his light of purity and awesome splendor through the faces and the voices and the mannerisms of the saints of God's creation. It matters not what the powers of this age declare as beauty. It is the beloved fullness of the living relationship with Jesus Christ that overwhelmingly stands out as the people of God so live in trust and obedience unto him. As recorded again in the Proverbs 24:12, this age is without excuse before the eyes of God. He sees through all the Botox and all the surgical procedures and all the health regimens and diets and fads to the very heart of the issue. The eyes of the Lord look for the heart in which Jesus resides as Savior and Lord. There will be the evidence of a life that is surrendered to the Lord and not to the whims and fancies of this age. Proverbs 24:12. If you say, "See, we did not know this," does he not consider it who weighs the hearts? And does he not know it who keeps your soul? And will he not render to man according to his work? With regard to what is of value in the eyes of God, the prophet Isaiah had so very much to say. The Lord made known through this prophet the true measure of what Jehovah considers to be of significance and worth in the essence of those who belong to him. The knowledge of the Lord fills the beings of the people whose Savior is the Lord Jesus Christ. They will know the fulfillment of Yahweh in the manner in which God brings forth through the lordship of the only begotten of the Father, the revelation of all that his reign will accomplish. Please open to Isaiah 11 and let us read together verses 1 through 9. Isaiah 11, 1 through 9. Then a shoot will spring from the stem of Jesse, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit, and the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and strength, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord, And he will not judge by what his eyes see, nor make a decision by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he will judge the poor, and decide fairness for the afflicted of the earth. And he will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Also righteousness will be the belt about his loins, and faithfulness the belt about his waist. And the wolf will dwell with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little boy will lead them. Also the cow and the bear will graze, their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox, and the nursing child will play by the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child will put his hand on the viper's den. They will not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. This is the beauty that will only be in place in the reign of Jesus Christ as the Lord of all his creation. His ascension and his glorification has put him into that place. The finalized result will be evident in the day of his return. It will be at that point that every creature in heaven and on earth will bow in humble submission to the manifested glory of his lordship. There will be that day of the judgment of every man, woman, and child with respect to the place that Jesus has in each heart. When that is accomplished, this picture of divine beauty and joy and peace will be the result throughout the whole of his creation. However, right now, it is in place in the hearts and minds and lives of those who know him and who submit to him and obey him even this very day. It is these who may not have the easiest of lives on this earth, as all the forces arrayed futilely against his reign will raise their ugly but toothless roars against the testimony of who Jesus is and all that he has done. But those saints of the Lord, even in the midst of every trial and tribulation, will manifest the peace and the glory and the supreme splendor of the sovereignty of Jesus Christ over the whole of his creation. The reality that ever been the deceiving work of this age since the fall in the garden to try to distract and to camouflage that which is the truly manifested loveliness of the Lord. The prophet Isaiah especially understood this as he was detailing the fact of the suffering servant who would be the one to release man from all sin and shame. He would bring forth the salvation of God. He would not be seen as anything but common and to be despised by the eyes of those he came to save. He would not be considered handsome or majestic in his appearance and in his demeanor, but he would be the manifested beauty and glory of God to all those who would receive his wonderfully and freely offered gift of salvation. once more. Please turn to Isaiah chapter 53. We need to beseech the Holy Spirit to show us the vast difference that is in place in the manner of how we are to see things. This passage reveals what genuine loveliness is in the eyes of the Lord, as so set against what we consider to be of value and worth and beauty with the shrouded eyes of our natural man. We are so blind that even when the only begotten Son of God came to this earth, He was set upon as despised and forsaken and only worthy of vile and cruel treatment, even to be hung on a rough-hewn cross. Such is the manner of the scales upon our eyes that try to maintain that deception. It was these which He came to painstakingly remove from our eyes so that we could see the light of God's salvation through the unfathomable work of His death and His glorious resurrection. Isaiah 53. Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For He grew up before Him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of parched ground. He has no stately form or majesty that we should look upon Him, nor appearance that we should be attracted to Him. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and like one from whom men hide their face, He was despised, and we did not esteem Him. Surely our griefs He Himself bore, and our sorrows He carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon Him, and by His scourging we are healed. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on Him. He was oppressed and He was afflicted, yet He did not open His mouth. Like a lamb that is led to slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before its shearers, so He did not open His mouth. By oppression and judgment He was taken away. And as for His generation, who considered that He was cut off out of the land of the living for the transgression of my people to whom the stroke was due? His grave was assigned with wicked men, yet He was with a rich man in His death, because He had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in His mouth. But the Lord was pleased to crush Him, putting Him to grief. If He would render Himself as a guilt offering, He will see His offspring. He will prolong His days, and the good pleasure of the Lord will prosper in His hand. As a result of the anguish of His soul, He will see it and be satisfied. By His knowledge, the righteous one, my servant, will justify the many, as He will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will allot Him a portion with the great, and He will divide the booty with the strong, because He poured out Himself to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he himself bore the sin of many and interceded for the transgressors. The reality of the difference between the way God sees us and the way we see ourselves and others is confounding to so many. There is that natural tendency to try to find solace and security in what this world tells us is necessary. All the while, it is the Lord who works from within us through the omnipotence of the Holy Spirit to reveal that eternal life or death chasm that exists between the essence of true spiritual beauty, Jesus Christ, and the deluded and pitiful fallacy of the deceit of this age. This is wholly manifested again by the prophet Isaiah from the very heart in the Word of God. Let us consider together Isaiah 55, 8 through 11, as the Lord makes known exactly what he sees as the value of his word going forth as it discloses the truth of his magnificent heart of love unto and into us. Isaiah 55, 8 through 11. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth, and making it bear and sprout, and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. The prophet Jeremiah, in Jeremiah 17, 5 through 10, closes out our morning with a summation of what we are trying to make so understandable through to the very core of our beings. We are in desperate need to have the eyes of our minds and hearts so adjusted to that which is in line with the way that the Lord looks upon each one of us. We need to truly see ourselves under His perfect gaze of holiness and righteousness. As well, we need to be taught to thusly see those around us. Then, we will have that wondrous gift of the heart of the love of God, which can lovingly and miraculously see people with those descaled eyes to behold all that is truly of beauty and value in the heart of each of the beloved saints of the Lord. Jeremiah 17, 5 through 10. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in mankind and makes flesh his strength and whose heart turns away from the Lord. For he will be like a bush in the desert and will not see when prosperity comes, but will live in stony wastes in the wilderness, a land of salt without inhabitant. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose trust is the Lord. For he will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by a stream and will not fear when the heat comes, but its leaves will be green and it will not be anxious in a year of drought nor cease to yield fruit. The heart is more deceitful than all else and it is desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give to each man according to his ways, according to the results of his deeds. It is only as we are living forth in trust and obedience to God and to his word that we will actually behold the beauty that the Lord creates through the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Our trust must never be in the wavering and fickle manipulations of this age, which so quickly dissolve away in the swiftly fleeting time. Rather, we are to see the true magnificence of what God has eternally invested himself into all those who trust and honor him alone. So be it. But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For God sees not as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Amen.